Well, it's good to be here. How are you all doing? Good. Let me see plenty of smiles. Your fitness is hard, he's talking. I don't find talking hard. I've got to slow down a bit. But what I find very hard is that Jane has given me 20 minutes. And so that's what I find hard. And she says she's going to come up here after 20 minutes and she'll be beside me. I don't know if this is going to work. I think because it's in my pocket. Do you think it's...
Put it on the table, George.
I might cut it. That's better. I'm moving and it's fine. It's okay, isn't it? Okay. Okay. All right, then I might just do that. Sorry about that. Okay, praise God. Well, yeah, it's great. Jane's prayed. Okay, it's really good to be here. I've titled my talk, Crossing Over Into the New Places That the Lord Has Got For Us. And it's a new time for me, and I understand that as a church you've also been doing lots of new things. And to be quite honest with you, as individuals, as people in Christ, change should not be an alien word for us. It's part of our ongoing development with God. We are being transformed into his likeness. So change, we should not be scared of the word change as if it's something like, you know, whatever. It could be change getting used to a hairdo. You know, some people, it could be quite traumatic, you know, depending what your hairdo has been like. I've had some traumatic ones in the past. Could be changed to health. Could be changed to our age. Could be changed to the kids leaving home or the kids arriving in the home. And it could be, you know, moving. So it's a range of different things as well as, you know, and all these affect our spiritual life because they're not separated. It's all part of us. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to refer to three passages in the Old Testament to do with crossing rivers. So it's going to be referred to crossing rivers as part of our changes and what the Israelites had gone through or didn't go through. And then I'm going to sum it up with five steps that will enable us, things that we need to be aware of when we're going through change in our lives, and five principles or rules or attitudes, things that we need to be aware of, and not particularly all in that order. So, the first crossing over is leaving behind the old and entering the new. Exodus 14:21, verse 21 and 22. It's on page 70. Now, it's fine if you like to follow in the Bible, otherwise I will read quite slowly, but it's page 70 in your Good News Bible. And just a bit of background to this, I'm sure most of you are aware, maybe you're not, but you all look like you're folks that have been around in church for a long time. Maybe not, you know, maybe some of you, you're new to church. But this is in the context of the Israelites are in slavery with Egypt, and Moses has been raised up as the man who's going to lead them out of this captivity. And after much negotiation with Pharaoh, Pharaoh decides, because he realizes that God is bigger than him, to let God's people go. So Moses has led the people out of Egypt now, and they've now reached one of their biggest hindrances, shall I say, barriers, and that's the Red Sea. And I'm not sure if they thought of that when they decided to take this step of faith and get out of this place of slavery, but here we are, they've reached the Red Sea. And I don't think we read that Moses panicked particularly, but God speaks to Moses and says to him in verse 21, Moses held out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drew the sea back with a strong wind. It blew all night and turned the sea into dry land. All the water was divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with walls of water on both sides. You can imagine the vast amount of people going through if it was going on all night, thousands. For us today, we could relate to that as our time when we were in slavery. For those of us who have come to Christ, we remember that time when we were in slavery, when we were in slavery to ourselves, maybe not particularly anyone else keeping us in slavery, but the fact that we were living in sin and not in the peace of God. The Bible talks about it, that we were once slaves and then set free by Christ. The Red Sea is a picture of the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. And there's no other way of coming into that relationship other than, you know, we need to come to the cross and be washed by the blood. It's not by knowing the word of God. It's not like being in the right place. It's not like having parents. It's actually we have to come to that place of the cross of Jesus and come to a place where we actually say, you can have my life. I don't want my life no more. When I first became a Christian, I didn't really have much of a life. So when it came to weighing up whether it's worth giving my life to Christ, the scales were pretty much like this. I was expelled from school because I was a naughty girl. And I had fun, actually. And, you know, I won't tell you what I did. I'll tell you that another time. But I was expelled expelled from school, and that gave me plenty of time to think about myself. And I wasn't a very likeable person, and I never really had much going for me. So I got very depressed, and extremely depressed. I even got very suicidal and even attempted it sometimes, but I was not very good at that either. But I suppose really deep down, I really didn't want to die, but there was occasions where it could have gone badly wrong. But God, I heard about Jesus giving new life when I was in this place of really my life was nothing. And when I heard that he was offering life, you know, the weighing up of like, shall I give my life to him? You know, how much is it going to cost me? It wasn't going to cost me anything because I didn't want my life. Having said that, the journey goes on and we obviously have to give up things as we go on. So, you know, it has cost me things. But at that point, he could have my life. And if he was real, then he can come and prove himself. And when I actually made that prayer, which I was told, just give your life to Jesus and ask him to cleanse you of his blood and, you know, and all the rest of it, I did it. And immediately I found peace. I knew God had entered my life. And I'd love to tell you that immediately my life came together. But in actual fact, it went worse. Got very, very bad. And I won't... Another time we could talk about details of how very bad it got, which was so bad, really, it would have been worth me giving up Christianity because it just felt like God wasn't there. But he didn't feel like he was there. He didn't see that he was there, but he was definitely there. So that's my experience of coming out of slavery, and I'll never, ever forget that. I'll never forget that. And I go back to that all the time. That's what motivates me. I'll never forget that place of despair, of hopelessness, and to the place that I came of knowing Jesus and knowing hope. Having hope and having peace that does pass all understanding. And praise God, I hope that for most of us here, we could say amen. We've come to that place as well. I want to really just quickly touch on in our day and age today, we remember it next week, the abolition of slavery. Praise God for people like William Wilberforce and others that sort of, you know, campaigned for years and years for this. But I want us to just remember, I know as a church we have been really good. I know Joan has been going around with a petition that slavery today in our day and age is a big thing. It's a big thing here in our country. Well, not that big, but there is things going on. But basically, you know, Burma. Burma, 70,000 children are enslaved to be part of the army. And that's ridiculous. They're kids. They don't have a choice. India, there's millions of women and children. And this sort of information you can get. I know at the back there is there's magazines to do with Christian World Solidarity and Open Doors, I think. There's loads of stuff around that you could find out more about and do something about. You can either put your name down on the petition or even write a letter or even give some money towards people that have got the time to be that voice. Because we can't do everything. But even praying. You know, I was praying for that guy in Mozambique. You know, and I just think God must just hear my prayers only because he was then released. I know it's not true. Thousands of people were probably praying for him. But, you know, don't ever think that our prayers are insignificant, you know, that we can have an impact on our society today. Now, the second question, if I can find it, wasn't so successful. It's Numbers 14 and it's page 143. And this crossing... involved the people of God rebelling against him. And the context of this is that the Israelites have now reached the borders, the shoreline of going into their promised land. God had brought them out of slavery, but not quite. They've never quite entered their place of rest and their home, the promised land. And they were on the borders going to go in, the land that the Lord had promised to them, promised to Abraham. So it's a promise that goes back many years. It wasn't something new, so they were very much aware of it. You know, it's part of their thinking and whatever. And basically, they send 12 spies over to check out the land. Now, I never understand why they did this, because it was a big mistake, because then you had conflicting stories. 10 of them came back saying one thing, and 2 of them came back saying another. And you never want that. As you know, well, you probably have your vote, and hopefully things go quite well that way. But here it didn't go very well. And they were wrong, those 10, although they were in the majority. They were very, very, very wrong. And basically, yes, they were right. They observed and they saw things that were correct. There was a big army there. There was giants. But what they missed was is that the Lord their God was with them and he had given them that land. And unlike Joshua and Caleb, who yes saw that, but also saw that milk and honey, God's grace and God's favour, provision flowing from that place and God being with them. And as we read, they've returned back and they've given their reports. All night long, the people cried out in distress. They complained against Moses and Aaron, nothing new, and said... Wouldn't it have been better to die in Egypt or even here in the wilderness? Why has the Lord taken us into the land? We will be killed in battle, and our wives and our children will be captured. Wouldn't it have been better to go back to Egypt? So they said to one another, let's choose another leader and go back to Egypt. Heard that before. And then verse 9, Joshua and Caleb, really brave, and we're talking about a whole community. It doesn't say only a few of them, it's a whole community, it must have been thousands. They stood up and said, do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people who live there. We will conquer them easily. The Lord is with us, and he has defeated the gods who protect them, so don't be afraid. For us today, let us remember the places that the Lord is bringing us into, the new places in our lives, whatever they are, health, relationships, personally giving up things for Christ. God is with us. If you've got access to the internet, you can pick up my notes, because I'm going to have to drop some stuff, because I don't think I can keep to 20 minutes otherwise. But I just want to say that we too can rebel against God. And unlike the Israelites, who then suffered 40 years, a day, a year for the day that was spent checking out the land by the spies, they never actually entered that peace. I don't think they lost their salvation, but they never entered that peace of knowing this is where God wanted them to be. They missed out. Unlike us, if we've messed up like these guys here, have not crossed over the other crossings that the Lord brings us in our lives, it's not the end of the world, because the blood of Jesus cleanses. We can come to that place again, to the cross, where we can say to God, I've messed up, sorry, help. And 1 John 1 says that, you know, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses. And again, you know, you can get a bit more fewer notes, I think, online. Oh, that's good to hear that. Phew, okay. Well, the third crossing gets a bit better. So we're now here, we're in Joshua. Joshua 1, page 208. Different sound of music here. And actually, to be honest with you, when I first read this, because I looked at the rebellion side quite a lot, and when I first read this, you know, it made me cry. I could not believe the different change of heart of this particular generation, their attitude and faith in God and to Joshua and Caleb. Let's bear in mind that the Jordan River and rivers are barriers. That's what we're seeing. I mean, the waters are barriers, but God is with them. So they've reached now the water edge, and they say to Joshua, you know, they're ready to go over. I don't think they send over any spies again. Joshua's done that. He ain't doing that again. He knows what the land's like. He's just going to go for it. I hope I've got that right. I don't know if they do send spies over again. But anyway, Joshua 1, verses 16 to 17. They answered Joshua, we will do everything you have told, and we will go wherever you send us. We will obey you, just as we have always obeyed Moses. And may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever questions your authority or disobeys any of your orders, we will put to death. Be determined and confident. Or in other translations, you have those famous words, strong and courageous. The promised land isn't heaven. We've often thought of it. Well, it can be, but generally in this context, we're not talking about the promised land being heaven. The promised land is the life that God has intended for us here and now. Eternity begins now. The kingdom of God is here now. You know, if we're going to forever wait for when we get up there, we're missing it. It's now. And, you know, the promises, the Bible's full of promises. I don't know how many there is, but there's hundreds of promises. And they're ours. And we can claim them. And obviously there's some things that just don't work out, but it's not the end of the world, you know, because when we pass this one, we're going to go to another one. So, you know, it's God will provide. But I just want to say, like, for us, I mean, there's millions of, not millions, I can't say there's millions of changes that I've done in my life, but recently, the biggest change that I've probably done in a long, long time is both Steve and I deciding that it's absolutely right for me to train under the Baptist denomination to be a minister for Christ, and I've been placed here. Now, it's great being here. Thank you for accepting me and all the rest of it. Thank you, I really appreciate that. And who knows what's going to happen in the future. But that was a massive decision for us. a massive decision, you know, to leave behind the church that we were in for 26 years. But, you know, that's nothing compared to what Christ has got for us. It's not about your little church and whatever or whatever, you know, it's about what God's got for us and the plans and purposes he has for us. And, you know, it was hard, but I'm glad I've done it, you know, and by God's strength he's enabled us to sort of make those decisions. I just want to encourage, Jane spoke about baggage a couple of weeks ago, and I want to encourage us to be very careful that we don't get held up and end up stagnating. And if you've been a Christian a few years, I'm sure you've been through an experience where you've stagnated and just, you know, you just do. You know, it's like any relationship you're in a marriage or even in a, or with God, it's easy to neglect those you love and you think, well, they know I love them, and you don't make an effort. You know, we need to make an effort within our marriages and also within our relationship with God. Otherwise, we can stagnate. So when God brings us to those places where he's asking us to change and to move on, we need to be prepared to give up that baggage. And I call it baggage. And I was just thinking, like, my husband's just recently come back from America. I was just thinking of him going through customs, being he bought a few things. And it's a bit like that. We're going into new places and we need to declare our baggage. We need to, 1 John says, confess. Confess just means own up. Bit better, innit? Confess sounds a bit scary, you know, like confess, you know, we shoot you. But it just means own up. Be honest about where you're at. Be honest. And that baggage, you know, that, you know, some of that baggage needs to be left. When you own it up, the Lord says that can't come. It's got to stay. And some of us have held on to a lot of baggage. We're still dragging around, especially hurts. You know, we think we've got a right to hold on to when people have upset us and said things and whatever. But there's other baggage that the Lord Jesus has paid a price for, and that can come through. It ain't that bad of a baggage. He's going to work with that. So I just want to encourage us. You know, I don't know where you're at in your walk, you know, where you're running for it or whether you're on the borders of new change. I want to encourage us, go for it. And all of us should be actually on that border of change. So let's not just stop at the first river of salvation, where we have got our ticket to heaven, and we're certainly, we'll hear the Lord Jesus say to us, welcome, and all our mates who have gone to glory and family. We want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, and it's never too late. And hence some of the parables with the workers coming in later, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's where how you end counts. So it's never too late to be running for what the Lord has got for us. And I just quickly will just go through these five preparations and principles in the next few minutes. real challenge this was for me. When I told Jane to talk, she said to me, that's 30 minutes. I said, I can do it 20. Anyway, let's just go through this. Right, the first step in preparing us in going through changes and to help us on our way is separation from the past. We need to be separated from the past. Just the same as Moses, Joshua, Moses, he said, God said to him, Moses is dead, you need to go on. So the things in our past, they're dead. They're dead. We think they're alive, they're dead. They have no power over us. We need to move on. We need confirmation, we need proof. When God is leading us into new places, we need to know that God is with us. The Bible can speak to 99% of our life. We don't need to be waiting for a word to come from heaven. Get into the scripture and the Lord will tell us what his will is. But there is obviously a percentage of our life, like jobs, relationships, moving, and a few other things, that we don't know the word of God for it. And sometimes God does speak to us through scripture, and nobody else will get that, but it's just come out of the Bible, and you know it's God has spoken to you. But, you know, so there's a percentage of our lives we need to just hear a revelation from God, you know, and we can hear it through friends, through teaching, and today hopefully you might hear a word of God. I hope you do, otherwise this has been a waste of time. But I know that where the word of God is preached, where the word of God is preached, you know, it is powerful. So even if it's just from that you will get a word, that's great. So we need confirmation, we need courage, you know, just like Joshua. You know, that bloke was military, but how many times did God have to say to him, be courageous, you know. So we need to be courageous, we need to be strong in God. Commitment, stick at what God has given us. Let's not be fickle. One minute we're going for it, next minute we're not. Let's stick at it. You know, look back to your past, because you're still here today standing for the Lord. So there's been times in your past where you must have stuck it out. So stick it out now. And community, and I'll relate that to relationships. God has given us each other, and also for the church, if the church is going through changes, I know Jane's great with ecumenical things, with other churches, other organisations. This is important when we're going through changes as a church, and also as individuals. You know, stay in relationship with each other. We need each other. And then the five principles or attitudes or the way we should think, as Jesus said, the Beatitudes, how we should think, is recognise, very powerful. This is the thing that motivates us, is recognise that by crossing over into new places, we are bringing salvation to others. What makes you want to go on? What makes you want to go on when you can't be bothered to go on? Why give up something to do with yourself when you're enjoying it? Why bother? Is it because you remember when you were lost once and there is hundreds of people out there who are lost? But don't think of hundreds, just think of that one person that the Lord has put around you. So we need to think, you know, change brings salvation. We're on our own often when we start to take those steps of faith. The first 1,000 yards related to when they were going through the River Jordan, the ark was ahead of them for the first 1,000 yards. That was God. And often it's like that. And I've got to tell you, when I made the decision to change, to accept the Baptist Union's offer, I panicked. You know, and I felt cold, and I thought, where's God? And I started calling out for God for more fleecing and more signs and wonders, and they weren't happening. But never mind, I hanged on to what I knew, and thank God I had Steve around me, who's still around me and still keeps telling me, this is right what you're doing. But, you know, so sometimes you will feel alone, but don't, if you've done the right things and you know you're walking for God, don't panic. Don't get cold feet. They were standing in water. They did get cold feet. Don't get cold feet. When we get cold feet, Satan starts to tell you, go back. Like they did. Let's go back to Egypt. You know, Egypt was a good place. I know they were in slavery, but they had it good. They had good food. I mean, could you stomach quail and manna? I've tried quail. I'm telling you, there's no meat on the thing. But, you know, so it was, if you're getting cold feet, don't worry. It's not unusual, but just don't go back. To enter the new flow, very similar to the first one, we need to cut the old flow. We need separation of the past. Past, our family. God says we must love our family, but they don't own us and all what they are, you know. It's another world. And then finally, to stand firm until the crossing is complete. I love that. Just stand. There's something in, I don't know if it's Ephesians or Galatians. Paul, Ephesians. He goes through a list of stuff and then he just says, and then just stand, you know, or kneel or collapse, wherever you're at. But God bless you. And, you know, it's really, again, it's really great to be here. And, you know, God bless you and encourage you in wherever you're going through, you know, especially if you're suffering with health. God give you strength. Amen.